History can be so complex, yes? Especially depending on whose perspective you take, or whose voice you hear, or whose context you consider. So whether you've lived in Hawaii for a few years, or your whole life, or you're just visiting, whether your ethnic makeup is European, or Asian, or Latino, or African, or Hawaiian, or some other delightful combination, recent events in Charlottesville and Mauna Kea and the North Dakota pipeline and Las Vegas and the U.S.-Mexico border and the Senate chambers in Washington and other places and situations have all presented yet another opportunity for Christians to ask tough questions. Anniversaries, like 30 years since the brutal death of Matthew Shepard, and February, when we look at the anniversary of the Parkland shooting, these anniversaries might invite us to look at history, look at our history, and ask, what do we still need to learn? And of course, when we gather as a community of faith, we do so acknowledging that we don't have all the answers, but we come with hearts open and minds willing to grapple with those issues in this place where we seek to hear the voice of God and examine the example of Jesus and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in each of these situations. Today, I want us to remember a name from our history, a young island boy whose life and faith are perhaps the reason any of us are sitting in here today. Because of this young Hawaiian whose name was Opukahaia, the seeds were planted that brought the good news of God's extravagant love to these islands almost 200 years ago. Some of you may remember back in 1993 when his iwi, his bones, were brought home to Kahikolu Church on the Kona coast. I understand that there were services all over the islands. Do you remember if Crossroads part? Many of you probably know the story of this young man so well, but maybe some of us don't. So before I launch into this mo'olelo, I actually want to invite us all to carefully consider several things. The history of the Christian mission to Hawaii and the implications of pre-missionary and post-missionary Western colonial contact. These are important topics to be prayerfully discussed as we discern God's leading in our own time and place. But actually, what I feel called to do today is to honor the memory and legacy of this young Hawaiian and to invite his spirit to come and be with us, to inform us, to renew us, and to fill us and inspire us to say with Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." Maybe not to some faraway land, maybe just down the street. Maybe to be patient in suffering or to persevere in prayer. Maybe to extend hospitality to strangers. Maybe to remember to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. What circumstance do I find myself in that could be used by God for good? That could even be a path to God for another person? You know, Opukahaia was only 26 years old when he died on February 17, 1818. 200 years ago. And by that time, he had unbelievably received an education at Yale and Andover in his second language. And speaking of languages, he was attempting to create a written Hawaiian language before there was one. He was translating the Bible not from English, but from the Hebrew. He translated Genesis. And he was influencing the people of New England where he found himself. They were inspired by his story and especially his spirit. They probably wiped away tears as he recalled witnessing the dreadful murder of his parents and younger brother during the battles when Kamehameha's warriors were trying to unify these Hawaiian islands. They must have listened with fascination as he described as a young boy swimming out to a trading ship anchored in Kealakekua Bay near his home. The amazing coincidence that he chose that ship and got onto that boat called the Triumph, and the family ties that he was able to forge with the captain of that boat, Captain Caleb Britnell, who just happened to live in New Haven, Connecticut. I imagine those people of New England hung on his every word as he shared what it was like to land in New York, to be a stranger in a strange land, an immigrant, eager to learn, amazed to discover through his new friends a God who so loved the world, whose son Jesus suffered abandonment. Don't you know he identified with that part of the story? But then when he learned that Jesus' story did not end with suffering or even death, but with resurrection power and Pentecost spirit, which enabled his followers to speak in words that could be understood as God's word, those New England Christians got swept up in his desire to bring the good news to his people here in Hawaii. So even after Opukahaia's unfortunate illness and untimely death on February 17, 1818 in Cornwall, Connecticut, his influence had become so strong and that his dream became their dream. His purpose became their purpose and their motivation to leave everything that they knew to get on another sailing vessel to take another challenging voyage on dangerous seas into an unknown future. Can you imagine Opukahaia reading from Isaiah, the same passage Becca just read to us, and feeling his heart stir to be a light to the nations, to say, "Here I am, send me. Maybe this is why I'm here. When I left my home in Kona, I was sad and dejected and lonely, having lost my family. But here I have come to find peace and joy and community. I've discovered faith, hope, and love, e kolumea nui, three things. I've gained knowledge that I want to share with my people." What do you think went through his imagination when he would read passages like, "Sing the Lord's song, his praise to the ends of the earth"? It may have seemed like the ends of the earth to this young island boy in Cornwall, Connecticut, at the foreign mission school, but there he would learn and he would live and he would plan and he would sing and dream. He would find support and encouragement. He and almost 20 other Hawaiians who went to school there as well. There they would find Christians who took seriously the words we read in Romans, extend hospitality to strangers. And you know how I know that's true? Because two summers ago, five of us from Punahou School were part of a delegation that traveled to Boston to meet Hokulea, the sailing vessel, when she was on her worldwide voyage. And we got there in time to go and visit Yale, to sit on the very steps of the college where Opukahaia sat and wept. Not because he was homesick, although he probably was. But his memoirs, it says he wept because he wanted so badly to learn. Here he was on the steps of this great school, denied access. And who should just happen to walk by but Edwin Dwight, who welcomed him, who invited him into the home of the president of Yale. God's hand guiding, making a way, finding a path. Oh, you know it. Our little group also visited the graves of Hiram and Sybil Bingham. There in those beautiful and imposing Yale buildings that totally looked like Harry Potter's Hogwarts. And we could sense that connection with our own school, with Punahou School that they helped to found. And we five drove to Cornwall, to the very church where Opukahaia and those other young men of Hawaii worshipped. And still today, they remember and revere him. They love him. Their library is scattered with pictures of him and books about him. It was a Sunday when we visited, and right before church, we were taken to the house where Opukahaia breathed his last. And we weren't expecting it. We didn't even know that house still existed. And as we stood there choking back our tears, we asked if we could leave a ho'okupu, a little gift, a shell necklace that we had brought with a lauhala fish that some of our students had woven. And we left it there. And as we were leaving and heading to church, I grabbed my phone because I thought, I've got to capture this moment. I need to take a picture of this house to share with people. And so I really quickly snapped the picture, and then we went to church. And later, when we finally had a chance to look at the picture, we noticed a beautiful sunburst illuminating the front of the house. A dazzling glow surrounded it, which was not in any of my other pictures. It seemed to say, here is light, and here is a holy blessing, and here is aloha, so far from home. It was like the angel sitting on the empty tomb. Remember that story saying, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't mourn his death. Celebrate his life and the light of his story. Both the light of Jesus' story and the light of Opukahaia's. Continue his legacy of bringing light and life-giving love wherever you find yourself. Accept the cost and joy of discipleship. Join in his passion and victory. Be the change we wish to see in our world. Wouldn't you love, I would love to go back in time and to hear him speak in those meeting houses and churches of New England. What did he say? And feel the excitement of being there and see that excitement that he generated. I suspect that first they were just curious about this person so far from home and his islands that he was describing. But then, oh, they felt his sincerity and heard his conviction and felt his quiet determination. Here I am. Send me. The missionary fervor was ignited by that. You know, the five of us from Hawaii also went to Long Wharf, which is the very dock where the first company of missionaries embarked on the Thaddeus and set sail on October 23rd, 1819, just one short year after Opukahaia died. And in their number, four Hawaiians, four dear friends of Opukahaia. We don't always hear about them, so let me tell you their names. Thomas Hopu, William Kanui, John Honoli'i, and Prince George Humehume. And we stood there at that dock and we tried to imagine what the ABCFM, which stands for the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions, what they meant when they said to those young missionaries, contemporaries of Opukahaia, some of them even younger than him. Here's a quote. Listen to this. You will never forget Opukahaia, which is how they said his name. You will never forget his fervent love, his affectionate counsels, his many prayers and tears for you and for your nation, his and your nation. You saw him die, saw how the Christian could triumph over death and the grave, saw the radiant glory in which he left this world for heaven. I want to say, radiant glory? Yeah, I saw it. I got a picture of it. I'm going to continue the quote. You will remember it always, and you will tell it to your kindred. Well, my friends, that's what we're doing today. We're remembering. We're not forgetting. We are remembering his love. We are remembering his prayers. We are remembering his tears for his people and the legacy he inspired. We are celebrating his triumph over death and the grave. And may I just quickly add, we saw his grave in Cornwall, still revered, still carefully tended, even though in 1993 his physical remains were brought home to another beautiful church and a very beautifully and carefully tended grave at Kahikolu Church on the Big Island, overlooking Kealakekua Bay, that same place he swam out. Kealakekua, you know what the name means? Kealakekua, the path of God. Where that young 12-year-old boy swam out from his home and into history. Really, he swam out from his life and into your life and mine, so we could learn from him, so we could say with him, here I am, send me, speak through my life, use my gifts. Amen.